G'day everyone, it is Friday, June 24, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you wherever you are listening. And what a Friday it is, a unique Friday, because Pup joining us in the L Daily chair for the next 3.5 hours is none other than the great Steve Blocker Roach.
Right, you blokes.
At Lowe's,
give
mate,
us an at Lowe's.
At Lowe's. And Elliot's. It used to be Lowe's and Elliot's.
I don't know. They should do.
Hey, boys, 4:10 this morning. I admire you blokes. How do you do it every day? But you know what? I got in here this morning. You blokes are up. It's Friday.
Yes.
Are you the same on Monday?
No chance. Today is my favourite day of the week by far, Block.
Monday
or last night. I was that excited. No, love Loz, but Block, I'm pumped to have you near.
Do you know that song? I can't sleep at night.
Yeah, I know it.
You see that's the red
that's me regularly.
Dressed in
white.
Great to be here, boys.
Mate.
Hey,
did you watch the Under-19s last night?
I saw a little bit of it.
That's where rugby league should be going. We should be putting these guys up front and centre on Fox every week.
Yep.
I loved it. And young Jonah Pezet, now, I watched him play last night, and I got a little bit of an affiliation. I looked after his dad when he first came to Sydney. Would you believe, I know that he played with Parramatta and the Crushers and all that. When he first came to Sydney, we got him to South Sydney. I was coaching the under-23s, and I looked after him at my place. He lived in my house and ate my food. Wonderful young man. And now I watch his son in the under-19s carving it up. I loved it.
And he did carve up.
He did. Good player.
Four try assists. And who does he play? What system is he in?
I know the system.
The Melbourne Storm.
But you could see.
Who's the 5'8", the number six? He was good as well.
He was good.
What's his name?
I don't know. He's a goal kicker too.
Yeah. Scored a little grubber through. Scored, yeah. It looks like they've played a lot together.
Thomas Weaver.
Weaver. He was good.
But you could see little touches of Melbourne in Pezet's game. You know, just the way that he straightened up, his kicking game, the way he mixed it up. What about that kick over the across field for the try? Mm. Then the grubber kick. So, mate, I was very excited about seeing him play. And, mate, we should showcase these kids. 19 years old. Do you see the size of him? Do you see him warming up? These are monstrosities.
You know the other thing, Bob?
They're men, aren't
they? Fox have got a footy channel. Rugby, an NRL rugby league. I don't understand why. At the moment, we do a lot of talk shows, like Fox 360, all that sort of stuff. You know, and I don't understand why we do so much of that, but less.
Do you know
of
what
the youngsters like? Even like you think SG Bohr, Harold Matthews, like that stuff to me is ideal content because you can build a relationship with the fans from a young age as well. So I might see a young kid and that just see his name stays in my head. 3 years later, he's now walking out to play for the Tigers.
I used to love going along and watching the under-23s in reserve grade. Now you'd hear blokes on the hill going, I see that kid there.
Yeah, exactly.
I reckon he's going to be. But I reckon, Clarkie, it might be a cost thing. I think it is so expensive.
Cameras at the game and
to
stuff.
But anyway.
Versus in studio. Yeah, cost. Okay.
Well, let's take two cameras or something. Let's find a way because to showcase these young kids.
Yeah, good point.
Mate, it was unbelievable. I really enjoyed the game. And you know what I enjoyed even more?
The fact we won.
The Queenslanders getting rissoled. That's what I liked.
Set the tone.
Yes.
For the weekend, hopefully, the under-19s last night. The women's under-19s, they won as well pretty comfortably. They won 22-6, but it was 32-4 in the men's. And they were men, weren't they, when you talk about. Yeah, you can just tell now how. I remember, like, you know, back when I was at high school, it was like, oh no, don't do weights until you're 15, and you know, even then, just be careful. Now it's nutrition when you're in your early teens, really, isn't it?
I reckon
nutrition, weights, the whole box and dice.
The most important thing about like young blokes doing weights and all that, I always say, if I'm talking to a young bloke, make sure you get taught the technique properly. Because what happens is they go in there and they start, oh, mate, I can lift. Look how much I can lift. But it's got nothing to do with that. What you've got to learn the proper technique to be able to do those sort of exercises and learn properly. Otherwise, you hurt yourself, you know.
Spot on.
Big morning on the show. Don't worry, the Sticky Wings Multi, it's in Blocker's hands. We'll reveal that after 6 o'clock this morning. Now, just after 6 o'clock as well, we've got Ben Gardner, who's the Tigers' assistant coach. Only been there since, well, late last year. Certainly has some good coaching pedigree. He's also helping Michael Maguire out with New Zealand at the moment. This match against Tonga tomorrow, must watch, 3:20 p.m. tomorrow afternoon, Fox League and KO. And, well, when you look at these two sides, you know pretty much every player, and it is going to be an absolute
humdinger. The problem is when these sides play each other, and when you look at it, there's some huge men, some huge humans playing in the game. But look at the halves. That's the thing you've got to look at. If you're going to be a Tier 1 nation, you've got to have good halves. Amone is a good player, plays with St. George, and they've got Katoni Stagg. So, yeah, I think Tonga, it's got to be, mate, imagine the bruises after this game.
Look at that forward pack.
Oh, we've got Fisher-Harrison, Papali'i, Bromwich, Joseph Tarpany, who I said the other day is the best front rower in the game. He's playing lock forward, but middles play exactly the same way now. Mate, that's going to be a bruising affair. I can't wait for it.
And we've got Robbie Dolan, jockey and musician, of course, now. He's coming up before 7 o'clock. We've got Adam Pengilly after 7. Brad Davidson, get his mail for the weekend. And one of your old sparring partners after 8 o'clock this morning, Blocker, someone who you had many a battle with in the 80s in particular, Greg Dowling.
Oh, no. I'm scared already. I love playing with him, but not against him.
Tough.
Oh, yeah, mate.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I just always...
Mate, he was as tough as an old boot. Don't worry about it.
As soon as I hear his name, I just always... The first thing that comes to mind is that fight with Tomati.
Yeah. Well, he was going good in that because they were fighting on the field too. I was in that stink. It was my first test. I was jumping in. They were all into Greg Dowling. I ran in and I thought, you're playing for Australia. You better grab one of these blokes. So I grabbed this bloke, but all week it was Kevin Tamati, New Zealand boxing champion. I'm going, mate, don't grab him. But I couldn't see who it was. Oh, and I grabbed this bloke and he turned around, mate. He saw my head. I was saying it about the other day. Lump, 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 lump. Anyway, they got sent off. And what happened was Greg was walking off and sort of pushed him towards the tunnel to go first.
Yeah.
And, mate, Kevin Tamati just backhanded him like that and she was on. And he was going all right until he slipped. And then the Liverpool kiss came in. Do you remember it?
Yeah.
Mate, it was war on the side. Mate, it was unbelievable.
I've seen the video plenty of times. There was a lot of people
in and around it in those days that, you know, you didn't dare jump in there because then the whole 26 would go off, you know. Even the benches would come in. So, yeah, he was a little bit unfortunate. He slipped, but, mate, what a warrior. And a protector of the great King Wally Lewis. Mm. And I'll never forget him. I'm going to ask him today too. We played the cricket ground one day in the pouring rain. Do you remember this?
Is this when he scored the try off the crossbar?
Yeah, off the crossbar. The ball hits the crossbar. He catches it. I thought, you arsey bugger. How did you do that? It was pouring. Anyway, it'd be good to talk to him. I haven't seen him for a long time. We toured together and he's a tremendous bloke. And, mate, he was tough as you like.
How are we feeling about Sunday night? Just looking at the market with Tab, the Blues just continue to firm. Yesterday $1.68, now $1.67, but it opened just after game one. The Blues $1.85, Queensland $1.95. The Blues are into $1.67. The Maroons are out to $2.25, the line 2.5, New South Wales the minus. So for all the commentary, discussion, debate about Brad Fittler's changes, it seems like certainly the punters pretty happy with what he's done.
They generally know, don't they? The blokes that do the markets, do they?
Are we living in saying,
you know, New South Wales were red hot favourites in the first game. They got their duds pulled down. They didn't turn up for the game. I don't really understand how you can't turn up for an Origin game because you know what it's going to be like. The expectation, there's no thoughts about, you know, you go to bed the night before and thinking, oh, well, this is just going to be a walk in the park. Yeah. It doesn't happen. Yeah. And they got ambushed in the first game. So, looking at the side and a lot of changes, I reckon the punters might have got it right. You know, if they don't come out desperate, can you imagine the fans and people who follow the game and follow New South Wales, what they'll say about it? They need to come out and make a statement.
I'm sure they will, though.
I'm pretty confident they will too, but you've still got to do it.
We've got to remember game one, we lost, we were favourites, we were at home, we were 1 metre from scoring at the end of full time.
Yeah, but mate, hey.
1 metre.
Hang on. It was 16-4, right? If you look at the game, 16-4, and I'm a New South Welshman, I'm not going against them, but, mate, I thought 16-4 when I was there watching the game was probably more a reflection of what the game and how it seesawed.
I think we all agree Queensland were better.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we've just got to see that response, don't
we? Zio won't get knocked out in the first minute this time.
That was a huge factor.
Huge. Mate, he was walking around dizzy. Mate, where's the concussion mob then? Yeah, why didn't they take him off?
Well, we had plenty to say about that, that's for sure.
Wasn't a good look, that's for sure.
Now, cricket overnight, well, tonight, England-New Zealand. We'll get to that score during the scoreboard update. But, Clarkie, yes, some news with the Australian side. Travis Head is out of tonight's fifth and final one-day international. He's got a hamstring strain. He's also in doubt for the first test starting next Wednesday. They're saying Josh Inglis will probably make his one-day international debut tonight. He's played a handful of T20s. He's certainly a player the selectors like. But Glenn Maxwell has been added to the test squad, because when you look at our backup batting options in the test squad, it's pretty much only Mitch Marsh or Josh Inglis.
Oh, I think it's a good selection. I think it's obviously disappointing for Travis Head. Hopefully his hammy's not too bad. But he's certainly out of the one-dayer. And from listening to Aaron Finch yesterday, it sounds like it. He might struggle for the first test. But I actually think Maxie's a good replacement for Travis Head, because he offers, yes, the batting, he plays spin well, but it's that bowling option as well. Mm. I think it still allows Australia to pick their two spinners in Lyon and Swepson, but then they've got the advantage of Glenn Maxwell or Travis Head, one of those two. Manus Labuschagne, Smitty, I think his quad sounds like he's going to be fine. He's batting in the nets and he's doing some light running, so I think he'll be fine for the test. And then you can also use Davey Warner if he needs to bowl some part-timers. So I think it's a good selection. And again, it's based on conditions. So I would imagine if Travis Head doesn't come up,
he'll play Maxie.
I would play Maxie. Yeah, I think it's the perfect swap based on conditions. You need someone who can play spin and bat in the middle order. He's obviously a very good fielder as well, Maxie. But most importantly, he can bowl some of those handy overs, pick up a couple of wickets for you.
5 years since he's played a test. Played seven tests. His last in Bangladesh back in 2017.
Again, conditions. I think it's smart selection. You pick on conditions. If his test mate, if it was in Australia, for example, or South Africa, I think it'd be a completely, or England, completely different conversation. But I think knowing what they're going to produce in Sri Lanka, we've seen in the one day as the wickets have spun. Maxie plays spin pretty good. And like I say, he'll be handy with the ball. Well, he's picked up some handy wickets in the one days.
No, certainly has.
Mitch Marsh.
Yep.
Finally, how come those guys are in and out of the side all the time?
Yeah, it's a good question, Block. I think that, well, this is the thing. I think Mitch's talent-wise is very clear to see. Bat, bowl, field. He's had a lot of injuries through his career, and he probably hasn't grabbed hold of his opportunity in Test cricket yet. 2020s and one days, he's come really good. In the 2020s, he's been one of our best players in the last couple of years. So he might just be getting that to that age now where he knows his game a lot better. But if he does get a crack, it's an awesome opportunity for him. Him and Cameron Green really are fighting for that number six position. I think that's the right spot for Mitch and Cameron Green. So at the moment, if he gets an opportunity by somebody else being injured, it's the chance he's been looking for.
So when you were Australian captain, I don't know the answer to this question. That's why I'm asking it. Yep. Did you sit on the selections? Did you?
At a certain stage, I was a selector, and then I got off the selection panel.
Did you put yourself off it?
I did, yes.
Why? Because you were getting a bit of curry from the players?
I had one vote out of five. Yeah. And generally, you'd spend hours and hours on selection, not get what you want. So you're accountable anyway as captain. So I said, instead of wasting that time in selection meeting, where I'm not getting the player that I want or players that I want, I'd rather be training or with the boys and trying to improve my game or their game.
See, when we tried to get Pup on the Tigers board, this is why he said
same thing. I'm happy to be accountable, but I need accountability.
Yeah.
Like, you can't say you're accountable, go do the media and put your hand up, the team lost, when I didn't have any say. I didn't get the team I wanted.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, leave me out of that. Let me just go and play and score more runs
A lot of people are saying to me about getting on the board at the Tigers. I go, mate, I don't know anything about boards. I'll tell you what, bud, I've got some contacts. put me on trying to get some sponsorship and all that. I'll go and do that, but I don't know anything about boards.
People get to a stage of their life where, you know, sitting down for lunch and having a 2 or 3 hour meeting is exciting. For me, I couldn't think of anything worse. Unless we're getting a result. I haven't got the time or the energy to be going to lunch every day and talking gibberish.
And having some cut sandwiches and all that sort of thing.
No, thank you.
Front page of the Daily Telegraph today. These hookers are a match made in heaven. There's Damien Cook and Appy Corrissau. And, on the back page of the Herald in relation to those two, under the headline, Blues hope Cook will enjoy Appy days too. And Denny Badiris, Blues assistant, is saying that basically, we'll argue they're taking a leaf out of Queensland's book, blocker from game one in playing the two hookers. But I think there was a realisation as well amongst the New South Wales coaches that the Origin game now is just so quick that playing one hooker for 80 minutes is just about not feasible anymore. And that's a big reason why they've brought Appy Corrissau into the side as well.
You're always going to find a reason why you do something.
Yeah.
I think it's plain and simple. I think, and I said it yesterday, I think they'll beat at the ruck, at the play the ball. As I was mentioning with Warren Ryan, if you win the ruck, you win the game. Mm. Appy's a better defender, in my opinion. I think Damien Cook's a wonderful runner of the footy, but do you get those sort of opportunities in State of Origin to run the ball with markers down and all that sort of stuff? I don't know whether you do, and I don't know, and I'm not a selector or anything, and I don't know whether I would have went with a hooker on the bench. But anyway, they've done that. And look, I'm sure that a bloke like Happy Corrissau and also Damien Cook can play 80 minutes of footy. I reckon that's just a furphy, and I think it's a throw-off. Mate, if you...
We're gone with what's worked for Queensland. But
yeah,
the other
that's
thing,
all right.
The
that's
other
all right. Plagiarism's yeah, good.
That's exactly right. I don't think it's a bad thing. But my only fear is, again, the two New South Wales hookers are not the two Queensland hookers. Like they're four,
and they're different players,
they're four very different players. Mm. So that's my only concern. Are we trying to create what Queensland have done? But have we looked closely enough at the fact that it's because of their style of play, the Queensland hookers, that they can play like that? And that's obviously why Billy Slater decided to start with Ben Hunt.
I reckon it boils down to quite simple, that they ran harder. I mean, you can talk all these tactics you like. They wanted it a little bit more than New South Wales in the first game.
Yeah.
You know, have a look at Carrigan and all those sort of blokes. Welcome back Cotter. Yeah. You know what I mean? Those sort of guys.
They're going to miss him, Ruben Cotter.
They'll miss him. I'll tell you where they'll miss him, the kick chase on Cleary. He puts so much pressure on him, and he's so athletic. Get out from that second marker and charge him. I don't know who's going to be in charge of that sort of area. Well, yeah, that sort of area. But I think... I think Cotter, when I watch him, he's got really good footy IQ. I think he knows and been taught well and well-educated by Toddy Payton, who, mate, he's the next big up-and-coming coach.
Yeah,
don't worry about
you've
that.
You've said that for a while, mate, Brock. You like Toddy, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I do. I think
you know,
he's very clever.
I remember having a conversation with Brad Haddon. He's great mates with Toddy. And he must have been like assistant coach or something at the Tigers years ago, even coaching the juniors or something like that. And I remember Brad Haddon saying, mate, Toddy Payton will be, I'm telling you, a great coach.
Yeah, he is. I see Brad Haddon too. What a great bloke he is.
Yeah, good fella Hads.
I'll tell you what.
He's over in Sri Lanka, I think, commentating the Aussie games.
I got a bit jealous, but because we live around the same area, and they were calling him the Putney legend.
And no accolade for you. Yeah,
nothing.
So you've had to hear, you probably walked the cafe.
Oh, there's a Putney legend. Putney legend. I go, he's a good fella, mate.
He's a beauty.
Tell you what, he's a very generous bloke too.
He's a good fella.
Good fella.
He's a good footy player.
Was he?
Yeah.
Halfback, 5'8".
I think he played both, half and 5'8". Yeah. He played for...
See, Cowboy,
I get it
originally?
Wrong. Yeah, he played for Queanbeyan. I don't know if it was Blues or Ruse. You'll kill me for getting it wrong.
Yeah, the Putney legend. You're going to tell me. Derby. I bet he's one of those guys that's good at everything. Is he?
He's good at most things.
Right, not everything. Good.
I'll leave it there, Block. He's good at most things. Yeah, he's talented. He's like, you give him a footy, he can kick it, he can pass. You give him tennis racket, he's...
Golf?
I tell you what he was. He was the quickest runner in our team. There you go. Speed over 100 metres.
Was he?
Hads was the quickest.
Wicked keepers.
But he's a keeper, so he's dodgy, man.
Yeah. He has his Mel Meningas.
Yeah, not great. He broken just about all of them. Yeah, he's a keeper, he's dodgy.
Also back page of the telly today, Clearway, Dubbo Duo vows to protect star half. Protect Nathan Cleary is a big catch cry of the Blues heading into Origin 2, and Isaiah Yeo and Matt Burton say that they'll be two of the men to do it on Sunday, and I can't wait to see Burton play in Origin. I just think he's made for this arena, blocker.
I think he is. He won the Centre of the Year in the Daily M's last year. But I think, and I was talking to Laurie about it yesterday, I think he's an out-and-out 5'8". So, I don't know. If you had a look at it last year with the Penrith side that won the comp, Luai at 5'8", him in the centres. But watching him this year, I know the Bulldogs haven't been going that great. The last couple of weeks they've gone well. But he's been their best player.
100%. If he had a dominant half next week,
mate,
please. He would...
Depends on the blokes you play with. Mate, have a look at how good Greg Dowling was that we got on the show today with Wally Lewis and Gene Mitner.
The other thing with Burton, which is going to be interesting to watch, is he has a player option at the Dogs for 2024. Hmm. If he doesn't take that up, he's on the market November 1. Yeah, he's contracted next year.
They've got some good players coming.
Yeah, I reckon he'll start. I reckon he's going to stay there for a long time. I reckon there's something. And again, never met him, don't know him. I reckon there's something. He seems like one of those kids that is... Like, I reckon he'll be loyal to the bone. I reckon he'll stay at the Dogs and be one of the players that has significant impact in getting the Dogs back to where they
You ever been next to him? You ever seen him?
He's bigger than you think, isn't he?
Is he? Like, taller? Or
maybe, and solid, and he'd be 6'3", easy.
Mm. Really?
He's a big man. Big man, yeah.
The thing is, though, Pup, he signed, now as we look at it, he signed for unders at the Dogs because he signed early last season when it wasn't clear he was going to get a regular game at Penrith.
Yep.
And then they had, I can't remember who had the injury, but he obviously filled in the whole season, ends up Dally M Centre of the Year. Yep. So the Dogs are going to have to significantly upgrade his contract.
But I think they will.
But Gussie Boy can put you under a spell. Yeah. The genius at it. He's a warlock.
Yeah. Convince you of anything, Bock, you reckon?
I reckon.
We've got Ben Gardner, New Zealand assistant coach, coming up shortly. He's also assistant there at the Tigers and New Zealand up against Tonga tomorrow afternoon at Mount Smart Stadium. By the way, the Warriors make their return to Mount Smart Stadium Sunday week. So what, in 9 days' time, absolute sellout. Sold out. They haven't played there since August 30, 2019. So that'll be a great occasion against the Tigers. Something else on the Tigers, I saw the Tab social team yesterday put out that someone had $50 on the Tigers to win the premiership at 1,000-1.
Well...
That's a waste of 50.
I mean, he must have enough to give away.
Yeah. Yeah.
$50.
No one's putting up their hand in here. No one did that.
It wasn't me. As loyal as I'd like to say I am.
Yeah. I like them. They're good kids, but me hard earned. No way.
No.
That'd be a great occasion, though.
I'll stick 50 of yours on, though.
Mate, I don't have any. I need yours.
Mate, you'd be going all right. Don't worry.
50 of losses. Oh, I got one for you.
Hit me.
I got a message the other day. Laurie Daly hasn't gone to New Zealand for a holiday. He's
earning.
He's talking to the Warriors.
Stop there it. You go.
Mate, true story.
Do you know secretly?
I asked him yesterday off air and he didn't answer.
Do you know how angry he's going to be when Juno start ringing him?
He did not answer me yesterday when I looked him in the eye and asked him.
Do you know, it's a smother from the Warriors to get him to speak to him. They're going to offer him the job.
Definitely.
To coach the Warriors.
Definitely. I reckon that is exactly why he's over there.
100%.
I'm going, I'm taking the wife for a holiday. Yeah, please.
Of course you are. We're going skiing and, you know.
He hates the cold weather.
Yeah.
He's not going there to ski. He'd rather be going to the sun. He's gone to talk to the Warriors.
He's not going to be happy with you two.
I wonder if his nose will grow when he comes back because he's been telling us porkies.
Well, he didn't say a word when I asked him yesterday. He just, there was that awkward silence. Mm. Now I know why. Surely not. Surely he's not going to coach the Warriors.
And surely he's going to get paid in Aussie dollars rather than the Kiwi.
You'll make it US. Was.
Euro. Just put it in my Monaco account, please.
So that is, big week, isn't it, for Mount Smart Stadium, considering they've got the test tomorrow and then the Warriors-Tigers game next Sunday.
Now,
Great to see.
What did you think about the idea from the league to play all of their games at home once they go home?
Yeah, that
Next
hasn't been that. I don't
no,
think that's
no,
been confirmed.
No, it hasn't been confirmed. Floated, it's been floated. It? Yeah,
they would. I don't know if you can play every game.
They wouldn't want to play every game at home, would they?
Yeah, they would.
Would they?
They would.
What about the frequent flyer points in that you get?
Yeah, but also the not having to travel part. That would take a fair bit out of them.
I think that's half the fun.
Yeah,
you know the worst thing for the Warriors, and I know I can speak on experience, is going on those trips and going over there. In the hotels, The smorgasbord.
Oh, my God.
Oh, how good are they?
Oh, the buffet breakfast.
What about, when the signs are, what about the signs there? It says, all you can eat. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Well, we're going across the ditch now and joining us ahead of the big game tomorrow, New Zealand and Tonga, Mount Smart Stadium, 20 past three our time here in Australia, Eastern, it kicks off. And assistant coach there at the Kiwis and also the Tigers, Ben Gardner, is joining us. Ben, good morning to you.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No, great to have you on the show. And how confident are you and Michael Maguire that you have the team prepared enough to face Tonga, considering, I guess, the little time you've got to get together?
Yeah, it's been a good week. We're very confident. We've had two training sessions so far. We trained on Tuesday and Wednesday after arriving on Monday, and we had to shoot off to another training session in about an hour or so to sort of fine-tune for the game. But you know, very excited. The boys are very excited. They're, you know, the utmost professional team. They've come together really well. So we think we're ready to rock and roll come Saturday night.
Ben, how exciting is it to have some international footy back? Again, we've been talking about it every day here. This game's going to be an absolute beauty. But just for international footy, I think it's well overdue. I think everyone's missed it.
Yeah, very much so. I know the guys here, particularly the players and the staff, are really, really excited about it. It's a really, really well-connected group, the group of players that we have. They come together and, you know, it's like yesterday that we played a game. So they're really excited about being together. And then, yeah, there's been a lot of community engagement over here as well. And, you know, a lot of Tonga fans and a lot of New Zealand fans out of that community engagement. So in the community, there's, you know, real excitement about the game as well as in amongst the players and the staff as well.
Hey, Ben, I love that you're talking about excitement. What about the game in the middle? Geez, there's some big boppers in both sides. I can't wait till tomorrow, Arvo, when I switch on the telly and then I see anarchy. I can't wait.
It's massive. You come into camp, Blocker, and you stand next to guys like Jesse Bromwich, and Jesse Bromwich is the big man, as you know, but then you stand next to Nelson the Soft Solomona, and it's like, oh my God! And they're going to be going hammer and tong with some of the guys from the Tongan team who are just as big and just as powerful. So it's going to be a fair battle in the middle of the field. And you know, it's a bit of a cliche saying that the battle's won in the middle, but you know, it's going to be more than a battle in the middle. It's going to be a bit of a battle royale in there, that's for sure.
Ben, I'd like to talk to you about your coaching experience. How does it help to be around all these guys in, well, it's going to be an international game, and just seeing how they all prepare and also working with Madge?
Yeah, it's a great experience for me. I've done this now for, I think, about five seasons, and I've always found it to be really, really stimulating and great development for me personally as a coach. But, you know, to see what each player does at their club, and you know, every club does slightly different things, you know, although we're trying to achieve the same type of thing. Just the ability to see what those guys are doing at their club and have conversations and just, you know, pick up a little, you know, little few things here and there. It's a really great experience for me, and, you know, something that I like to sort of, you know, split the year up with and take back to club land and, you know, stimulate me with my coaching as well.
Benny, how is Madge, speaking of him? Again, his comments a couple of days ago saying he's really happy that he's got this New Zealand job to, I guess, keep him occupied with what went down at the Tigers. And you're obviously in a tough situation as well. But how is he going? And do you think there's ambition to keep coaching and to find another NRL club?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there is. Like, we haven't really spoken about that too much this week because this week's been about the Kiwis, but I'm super, super excited to be here and full of energy as per, you know, what he normally is. You know, he's been really diligent in the approach to the game, and, you know, it's you sort of look at guys like the guys that we have here, and, you know, they're the best of the best, and so we sort of put that on them from the start of the week, and Madge has put that on them and said, you know, we expect good things from you and we expect high quality and elite execution and all that sort of stuff. And we're just, I think he's just sort of bought an energy that he's, you know, he's used to having at Clubland. But, you know, I know that deep down inside he's probably looking forward to getting back to NRL coaching down the track somewhere.
Ben, how does everyone feel about this game being played in the middle of the year? I think as a fan, we love it. But how do the players and coaches feel about it?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. I thought that a few of them, you know, might be a bit concerned about, you know, getting away from club footy and, you know, injuries and all that. But there's been nothing said about that side of the game, the negative side of it. It's all positive. Like, and every player's bounced into the camp and couldn't wait to be here. We did a number of things before we came together in camp, you know, on Zooms, and we went and caught up with the players and all of that. And there's been nothing but excitement from them. And I think the fact that it's Tonga, I'm not sure if you guys have seen any of the other games where New Zealand played Tonga in New Zealand. They've just been, like, massive. And, you know, I know I was in one a few years ago at Auckland and one before that at Hamilton. And, yeah, you can't hear anything. It's, you know, an Origin-style atmosphere or, you know, even better than that. And, you know, they're just stoked to be here and, you know, wrapped to get out there on Saturday night.
Ben, looking forward to the World Cup. The way these nations have come on now, you know, Australia were always expected to win. I don't think that's the case anymore.
Yeah, I think it's a real balance there now. Like, you even look at sides like Samoa. I looked at the Samoa side that was named, and then I looked at the Tongan side that was named, and, you know, Fiji through the week. Like, there's real strength in all of those sides, and I think that, you know, Australia has probably been the leading light for a long time. But, you know, sides like ourselves and Tonga and Samoa are definitely going to be pushing the way come the end of the year. And, you know, as you know, Block, a lot of it has to do with, you know, making sure everyone's healthy by that time of the year as well. So I think the team that's the healthiest and gets the best run in for the finals will get a good opportunity to win it.
Mate, I want to talk to you about the Tigers just quickly, close to all of our hearts in here, especially too. What's the rest of the year look like? And, mate, can you give us a little bit of an insight on what Tim Sheens has brought to the club?
Yeah, I'll start with Tim. He's been very professional and pretty much, you know, just sort of got around things in the background and, you know, has small conversations with the staff and the players and make sure that everyone's comfortable in their roles and, you know, things are moving forward positively. I think that the feeling in the club is, it's been a little bit disjointed over the last few weeks, obviously, but we're finding our feet. The boys are back training yesterday and today. Obviously, I'm not there, but they're back training and things have gone really well. I watched the training session yesterday online, which was nice to do. You can do those sorts of things these days. And they bounced in with a lot of energy. You know, obviously, you know, when there's changes, Block, things change and, you know, players have to deal with that. And there's new stimulus in place to be able to sort of move forward into the back end of the year. I think that you'll see some young guys come through as the year progresses. So that's always exciting as well. But we just need the guys that are there to stand up and work hard and get their job done come game days.
And just looking at this New Zealand side tomorrow, Ben, I'm looking at Kieran Foran at 14. You've got a couple of classy halves there and Dylan Brown and Jerome Hughes, Joey Manu at fullback. But how will you use Kieran Foran, do you think?
Yeah, good question. Kieran will cover nine, obviously, for us. I know he hasn't played a lot of nine, but he's more than comfortable there and defending in the middle. But what he does is he gives us the ability to have that nine cover, but also a back cover. So there's the ability to be able to move other guys around in the back line for him to play in the halves, potentially, if need be. You know, Dylan Brown could play in the centres if we were desperate to do that. And Jerome Hughes could go to fullback if we needed to move Joey Manu into the centres or something like that. So Kieran gives us sort of a really good balance on the bench to be able to cover Brandon at hooker if we need him to, or to be able to go in the halves and manoeuvre other guys around to just cover the backs, which, you know, as you know, in rugby league now with the head knock rule and those types of things, you need to have that coverage there. If you don't, you can sort of get bitten on the butt a little bit. So, yeah, he's there to do that job.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be hairs on the back of the neck stuff when we see the haka in the, is it the sippy towel? Pre-game, I hope you can just have a moment and enjoy it, Ben. It's going to be something else.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's really exciting. I'm really privileged to be here and really appreciate the time from you guys today as well.
No, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. Enjoy and good luck. Thank you. Ben Gardner, New Zealand assistant, Tigers assistant coach. And tomorrow afternoon, the market with Tab has New Zealand warm favourites, $1.27, Tonga $3.80 with Tab and plus 10.5 at the line. I just want to read these forward packs out to you again. New Zealand have Jesse Bromwich, who's back with the captaincy, by the way, after he stood down 5 or so years ago after an incident. So good to see him back at the helm. Up front with James Fisher-Harris, Brandon Smith's the hooker, Isaiah Papali'i, Kenny Bromwich, Joe Tarpany. And then on the bench, they've got Moses Leota, Britton Okoro, and Nelson Asofa Solomona.
Good luck.
Tonga. This is Tonga's starting forward pack. Now, just get the image of size in your head here. Fanua Blake, Takiaho, Saliva Havili, Tupanua, Kolamatangi, Jason Taumalolo.
My God.
And just coming off the bench, if you don't mind.
I'll pick the brick wall, thanks.
Ola Katau, Tavita Totola, and Mo Fotuaker.
I will book into physio now, before the game.
Seriously?
Oh, Block, that must make you miss playing for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You miss it?
No, not really. Have a look at him.
I'll tell you what, this Kiwis side looks like it's got some class, though, doesn't it? When you look at Joey Manu, Dylan Brown, Jerome Hughes, and Kieran Foran at 14. Yeah. They were just starting to slide a bit 3-4 years ago, the Kiwis. It looks like Madge has got them back.
Well, you know, all these guys, all these guys playing in the NRL now, they've virtually taught them how to play. So that's what I was trying to say about it. Used to be in World Cup games and tours and all that, Australia was expected to win. And it was like, oh, well, you know, Australia will win. I don't think that's the case now. They're going to have to prepare a lot better than what they have been when they just go over there and just, you know, play against the Poms. I reckon the World Cup this year, although I am taking a little tour over there, but I think it's going to be that competitive. Yeah. I think you're going to see a few changes of the guard here.
Gulliver's Travel, we'll give it a plug.
Yep.
You want to go on the tour with Blocker and Ciro as well, isn't it?
Get there. Ciro and Alfie.
Oh, Gulliver's Travel.
Going Champagne District as well?
Yes, we are.
What part of that's a footy tour?
Well, have a look.
Mate.
I've been practising.
What part of that is a footy tour? That is a junket if I've ever heard of one.
Mate, you've got to...
I thought you blokes all you did was drink VB.
You've got to explore.
Now you're going to drink champagne.
You've got to explore in your life.
Who would have thought?
Open yourself up to...
Steve Blocker Roach in the Champagne District. Yes, please.
Can you get a beer there? I don't know.
You're going to find out.
I'm going to find out, and I'm going to answer my own question.
You get to converse with the locals in the local tongue.
But all I knew when I was in France was jambon. You know what that is?
Ham?
Ham roll. Yeah. That's all I knew. I was hungry. Jambon or merci beaucoup.
You get culture here on the Big Sports Breakfast. Quick break. Loz is on holidays. Clarkie and I are taking next week off as well. So we got the great Blocker in the studio this morning. If you're just tuning in for the whole show.
Well, am I going to be one out next week? Am I get a holiday? Do I get a week off?
You can talk to the bosses, mate.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, you can. We're fine.
Oh,
we're
Luscious.
Not going to stop you from doing anything.
Luscious. Yeah, I'm not telling you. I'm just saying no to you. No,
Luscious Lloyd's our boss, isn't he?
Yeah, Lloyd.
Luscious Ben Lloyd.
Just send him,
Lloyd.
Chuck him a text.
Mate, I've got a hotline to him. Don't worry about that. How do you reckon I got on here?
Tell him you want a week off.
All right.
No, I'll work.
This is the moment, though.
This is the moment.
The Sticky Wings Big Sports Breakfast Multi has been handballed to your good self.
To me.
This is a point of congestion. Daly gets stopped in the street by even young blokes who don't even know he played footy.
What do they say? You're the bloke that does
the multi wrong every
the multi.
Week,
and they
every
come
Friday.
Up and bag him about it.
Yeah. They don't even know he played.
No idea. They think he's a professional gambler. They don't know he played footy. He's just a punter.
Mate, one of the greatest players ever to grace the turf. Nah,
they can't recognise him without his thermo skin on his quad. That's why.
What about that?
I don't know Laurie Daly from the thermo skin and those shoulder pads back in the heyday.
Mate, what about in the heyday when we used to have pockets in the side of our shorts? Mm. They used to put little
sponges. What was that for? So you could put your coins in there?
No, so you didn't get grass burns. I think that's what they were for.
For your coins.
And then Saints come out and started pieces. Wearing torpedoes. Did you see those things?
Yeah, what about those?
How embarrassing.
All right.
Okay,
so
let's go.
What are you doing for us? Are you going to do a combined Origin racing multi?
Yes, that's what I'm going
to
do.
Okay, go for a block. Over to you.
So Saturday, Randwick, race 4. Did I say Wamrick or Randwick? Race 4, number 11, Pretty Wild. Now, that's Clarkie's horse.
God,
that is block. My tip. Block. He has told me.
Block.
It's
no.
A special.
Block.
He's told me.
No, I didn't.
So
Randwick. No, come on. Tell him what you really told me. Race 4.
I told you the opposite.
Number 11, Clarkie's horse, Pretty Wild.
We have just ruined
what's he doing?
Your life in ownership.
I told you boys yesterday the truth.
It's to run top two. To run top two.
Oh,
yes.
You
and
blokes.
New South Wales to win Origin 2. That's a shock, that one.
And
Matt Burton to score a try in Origin 2. Anytime try scorer. Matt Burton playing his debut Origin match.
Geez.
First try scorer. And here's the better one. I'll tell you what it's paying.
Hit us.
$13. $13. What's that?
That's a cha-ching.
That's
a cash.
Ding. A ding. Okay. $13. I'm thinking I'm going to have.
I can't believe what I've just heard.
I think I'm going to put a little bit of my lovely on it.
Oh, my God.
Clarkie's horse is in the multi.
Block.
Yep, I can understand why your head's in your hands, Clarky. But anyway, give it strength. I've backed it.
The fact that it's not Loz's multi, so I feel a little bit more confident. But top two, it's a big core block.
Blockers BSB, Sticky Wings Multi. It's on the Tab app, the Tab website, under Sport, and today's offers is paying $13.
And be careful about stopping me in the street. I'm not lost. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
No, please do. Well, if this wins, it'll be statues, it'll be like awards nights, hey, it'll be a whole box of
more nights. Importantly, it'll be Loz. Gone.
Oh, yeah, Loz will be filthy.
Will he?
Mate, trust me, Loz does not want you to win.
No, he's a good guy.
You know what? He is.
Really?
Let me tell you right now.
Behind the scenes, he's one of those?
He'll say to your face, he is praying that you lose.
Yeah, he'll bag you.
He does not want you winning here. This is life changer if you get up.
Mate, I'm telling you, that's a sad way to go about your life when you're dirty on other people, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
let awesome. It go, mate. Mate. Go and watch Frozen and just dear. Let it go.
Yeah.
G'day, Shane. Morning to you.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Yeah, not Shane, too bad. Mate. Thanks, mate.
Mido, I watched the game last night, and there's some massive young bucks out there. You could only see the size of them when Bobcat and Shrek were on the field and they were towering over them, but the biggest problem is with these young blokes. Over the last decade, and only 50% of them going to be regular first graders. The expectations on these young blokes are severe. They know this is probably their one shot at being a regular first grader, getting a big paycheck and getting out. The Blake Moser, they're comparing him already to Cameron Smith.
Yeah.
Pressure they're putting on, and young Trey Mooney looks the goods too, but I hope the NRL does something in the future, when a lot of these guys won't make it, and a lot of them don't, they've got something in place to help them on in their futures.
Yeah, good call. Good call.
Mm. Yeah, Blake Moser, yeah, he had plenty of write-ups in the last couple of weeks. Well, he has signed, a long-term deal with the Broncos.
But is that part of the business now?
It just is.
When we watch kids in the under-19s, and mate, you're often thinking, who's he play like? Who does he look
Everyone
like?
Everyone wants
who
a comp.
Exactly. Mm. I mean, if you're the best at something, whether it be a surgeon or whatever you're doing, you're going to get paid for it. So these guys, I know they're under pressure, and you know, but that's the way it is. I don't know what they can do, but I agree with Shane. They've got to do something about making sure that these guys get a little bit of a pathway into being educated, you know, or a trade or whatever, like, you know, something like that. So, but that also isn't just up to the rugby league. That's up to the parents. Now, what happens is a lot of the times the parents, they get starstruck. They don't keep becoming parents anymore. They become fans. No, it's a fact. I know a lot of people don't talk about it, but it's true. And that's what happens. I see it all the time. You know, they've got to sort of, you know, get onto these kids to do apprenticeships or whatever they're going to do. Get something next to what you're doing apart from footy.
Well, last night, the under-19s Origin, the men won 32-4 at Leichhardt. The Storm's Jonah Pezzett, man of the match, had 4 try assists, outstanding performance. And the women's under-19 Origin match, New South Wales won that as well, 22-6.
Mate, you know, who was the fullback for the girls that run 100 metres, a little grubber kick in the in-goal area, and they didn't chase properly Queensland? She ran the length.
Yeah. Yeah, she. I'm just trying to find a name here. Jada Taylor.
That's it. She got the woman of the match. Is that what you say now? What do you say when
you say player of the match?
Lady of the match or
across,
woman
player
of the match?
Player of the match.
Man of the match. You can't say
no.
That.
Man of the match is out.
So what is it? Player of the match.
Player of the match for men's and women's. There you go. Okay. Across the board.
I like it. Brought to you by Mitsubishi. I could never say it. I worked on 9 and the Mitsubishi man of the match.
The women's Origin tonight as well. We spoke to Kezzy Apps yesterday. Gee, she was good.
Yep, spoke well.
Spoke really well,
very
really honest.
Yep.
And that's tonight at Bruce Stadium, GIO Stadium.
They're in Canberra, aren't they?
Yep.
Can I ask a question while we're here? The people who organise the game, why would you play the poor girls in Canberra? It's freezing.
Nice and chilly for them, isn't it? Well, it's going to suit us, you'd think. Well, New South Wales more so than Queensland.
Why didn't they play at Leichhardt? The 8th wonder of the world. Played at North Sydney Oval the other year.
Pratt and Park.
Sharing it around. I'm sure the ACT.
Pratt and Park.
I dare say the ACT government probably chipped in.
Well, I don't mind them. They're good kids, but it's freezing down there. Poor girls.
Well, Kezzy Apps spoke yesterday about, you know, it becomes a two-match series next year. So how about this? Whoever wins tonight, they only have to win one match next year to retain the Shield. That doesn't seem fair, does it?
Don't like it. I reckon she was spot on yesterday. We've got to play. Be it either one or three.
We've got to play three games.
Can't be two.
Come on, make it a contest.
Who comes up with that?
Oh, well, I don't know. Well,
who makes that decision?
What, the commission?
It's a stupid decision.
Well, at least it's expanding.
But why wouldn't you go to three games?
I'm sure it will. Just patience. It'll happen.
One or scissors, paper, rock.
But the fact that, you know, only one team, well, you know, you only have to win one game to retain the Shield next year, that'll be a bit ridiculous. Anyway, let's just win tonight and we'll worry about that next year. Now, also over the weekend as well, it is the Super Netball Preliminary Final. Good luck to Giants Netball up against the Melbourne Vixens for a spot in the Grand Final next week over in the West against West Coast Fever.
They're playing in Perth, are they?
Yes, next week. No, they're playing...
In the grand finals in Perth. So what was that?
Melbourne first.
That's because of the government getting it. Good on them.
Yeah, but the government bought the game.
Yeah.
But then the WA team ended up upsetting the Vixens. Yeah. And so they ended up hosting it by merit anyway. So the
home ground advantage.
So the WA government's paid for something they, in the end, didn't even need to.
They're going
to
get anyway. I love it.
Yeah, brilliant. Jamie Rogers, morning to you.
Well, good morning, guys, and good morning to our listeners. I just need to say, boys, I think we need to get Blocker in every morning just to rev up our team, because at 5:15, he comes walking out of where our producers sit and he yells at Clarkie and Middo and he's like, "Let's go!" And everyone was like, "All right, let's do it."
Yeah, it felt like I was running out for a game.
Yes!
I'm trying to get myself going.
Yeah. But it was awesome. We got everyone, was all excited and ready to go. And Blocker, I haven't seen the boys move that quick ever, so you've got some impact.
I was petrified, Jamie. Yeah. I was straight off the seat, running in the studio.
Clarkie, listen, mate, don't be petrified. It's all a myth. It's all a story.
It's not.
As it's gone on, the myth, it's gotten bigger.
Maybe, but it's not all a story. I heard it in your voice. No. You said jump, I said how high.
I am not an animal.
And also, Blocker, your multi is pretty impressive. What was Clarkie's face? I couldn't see Clarkie's face, though.
My head was in my hands. I was devastated. Yeah. Well, I'm not ready. She's not ready. Pretty Wild, in my opinion, is not ready.
It's a good name. How'd you come up with it? Pretty Wild.
Yeah, nothing to do with me. No idea. Oh. Just got told that was her name. I said, awesome.
How appropriate, though, in the end.
Mm. Why is that? Oh, just why do you suggest that? And why are you agreeing, Jamie?
But look, you've got a good horse on your hands. So, Blocker, I just hope for you. I'm giving it strength because we want this multi to win. It's an awesome price and three great legs. So, Clarkie, I just hope. Fingers crossed. I know.
I'm going to be watching everything.
I'm wondering what Jamie does during the day now. I might get her on to help me with a little bit of PR.
Mate, I'll tell you what she does. Swims for generally 8 to 15 hours a day.
She's swimming the channel, isn't she?
She's swimming everywhere. Yeah. She doesn't walk. She doesn't drive. She swims.
I'm scared of jellyfish, let alone sharks.
Well, that's right. You come and swim with me, Blocker. Actually, boys, speaking of swimming, there were some really scary scenes yesterday coming out of Budapest. So at the World Swimming Champs, they also have the artistic swimming. And an American swimmer, Anita Alvarez, she ended up having to be rescued. She fainted during her performance and she sort of sank to the bottom of the pool. And her coach got in before the lifeguards. And apparently the coach said she was standing there and you could see that the swimmer had stopped breathing and she was just waiting, saying, well, surely the lifeguards are going to jump in soon. They didn't. So she jumped in and rescued her swimmer. She said that she thinks Anita actually wasn't breathing for about 2 minutes because her lungs were so full of water. But what's even more impressive about all this is she's having a rest day today and they think that she might actually still compete in the final. They're going to see how she is, but off the back of all of the doctor's reports, they said that she's actually okay. She has fainted before, but look, they think she might make a full recovery enough in time to be able to compete in the final, which would be tomorrow.
That's unbelievable. How scary.
Unbelievable.
The photos are just...
horrendous. Watching her coach pulling her up through the water. Even that in itself, for the coach to be able to hold a weighted body to come out of the pool herself is remarkable. So
everyone's fear, I reckon. Mm. Like you see people in a pool or the beach or your kids. It's everyone's greatest fear. Unbelievable. What an awesome. I don't even know the word for the coach to dive in and just
beat the lifeguard.
Because there would be like you'd probably. be scared to jump in as well because you think it's not like that's a lifeguard's job or they got this or...
Yeah, everyone would be in shock, but yeah, 2 minutes...
you wouldn't know what to do.
What, do they think it was a G-up or something?
Mate, who knows?
Don't know.
The actual picks block, it's horrible. Yeah. Looking at it is so... it's so hard to look at.
It is. It is quite confronting, and especially when you see her being pulled out of the water. And but the positive is she is completely fine and looking like she will perform in the final, which is just remarkable. Yeah. But still at the swimming, guys, we had 2 gold medals yesterday in Molly O'Callaghan and Zach Stubblety-Cook. So Molly took out the 100-metre freestyle. And I've got to say, both of these swimmers did it tough. Molly turned 6 at the 50-metre mark and then just powered home in the final 10 metres. Whereas Zach in the 200-metre breaststroke, so he won gold in that also in Tokyo. But he was last after 50 metres and at the 100-metre mark. And then he turned 3rd at the 150 and then ended up just powering home to get gold. But Kyle Chalmers, your man... Clarkey.
How's he going?
Well, that decision to deny Cody Simpson the spot in the 100-metre butterfly has backfired remarkably. No. So Kyle failed to qualify for the semifinals in that event. So as we know, he initially said he wasn't going to swim in the 100-metre butterfly, but then he finished 2nd at the Australian Championships. We know Cody Simpson finished in 3rd, which means he didn't qualify, and Kyle decided he was going to go and swim. He wants to swim in the 100-metre fly in Paris at the Tokyo at the Olympics, so he thought, let's go and do it. But he and Cody Simpson's times from back in the trials in Australia would have gotten them both through to the next stage. But sadly, he didn't end up performing too well. But they'll get a chance again at the Commonwealth Games next month. It was just disappointing for him because Kyle had swam remarkably in the freestyle, in the splits, in the relay, and he ended up getting Australia through to silver. But I guess that decision for him to take Cody's spot wasn't so great in the end.
And JR, we've got an Aussie set to go, hopefully, in the top 10 in the draft today.
Yeah, well, this is really interesting, guys. So if you take, according to ESPN's analysts, they've all put Dyson Daniels, who'll come probably around 6th, so which is a really good result for him. So for anyone that doesn't or hasn't heard of Dyson Daniels before, he's been playing in the G League, which is the NBA's official minor league. He's been playing for a side called Ignite, and that's a side that was only formed back in 2020. So according to all the analysts and all the experts, they believe that he will be in the top 10 just off the back of really great defensive performances. And Woj, who works for ESPN and has got the best NBA male, he is reporting that the order of the top 3 picks is pretty much how it's going to go. So Jabari Smith Jr. will go to Orlando as pick number 1, and Tab have installed him as the favourite at $1.35. But what's interesting though, Jared, is the sports bookmakers over in Vegas have all said that Banchero is the best backed in there. So for us, we've got him as $3, but Woj has got him going as number 3 to Houston. So it's interesting that that's where all the support's going for in the US.
Okay, NBA draft later this morning. JR, thank you so much. We'll be back with the news at 7 o'clock. Give us a call, 1353 53. And we've got Alan. G'day, Alan.
G'day, boys. I love the show, guys. Absolutely brilliant show, boys.
No, good on you, mate.
Very
appreciate
kind,
it.
Mate. Thank you.
That's good. But look, I want to ask a question, mate. But just before that, Parky, you lived at Lanier, didn't you, mate?
I lived in Liverpool, but my mum and dad had an indoor sports centre at Lanier, yes.
Yeah, they're knocking that down. I lived just around the corner, mate. Did you have an older brother?
No, older sister.
Older sister, okay. You know, I remember your dad leaves, mate. He used to run the centre, that's all. So it brings back some memories for me, mate.
Yeah. I miss it a lot. It was it was heaven for me as a kid, that's for sure. Rain, hail or shine, you had a venue to go and play any sport you like. I was, it's funny because a lot of people talk about, you know, your journey to making it to the highest level in regards to cricket, and no way would I have made it without mum and dad owning that sports centre. I just had 100%. Friends to be able to bowl balls to me every single day.
100%.
Dream come true.
What, did you have the nets in there or something?
Mate, they had
indoor cricket.
5 indoor nets, yeah. Wow, proper, like we had indoor netball, cricket, indoor soccer, volleyball. This every day after school, get home, do your homework, and straight to the indoor sports centre.
So when you were a young bloke and you're going into bat,
yeah,
did you just commentate to yourself?
No.
What?
No.
Well, when you were young, I used to do it all
what
the time.
What do you mean? Like,
oh, here he is being something. Ah, takes it forward.
No.
Didn't you do that?
No.
What? Mimic your heroes? You never did that.
Not like during a game. In
no,
the backyard.
No, I mean when you're a kid.
Yeah, in the backyard. Yeah,
yeah,
I thought I was Curtly Ambrose.
Yeah,
and
of course. But
I was a right-handed Alan Border.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did a bit of that.
Ah, beaten.
Sorry, Alan, go on.
Anyway, I just
go
to there too, Mate, it all starts from the grassroots, mate.
100%, buddy. 100%.
And the other is the rain, guys. Look, I was watching, I think, NRL 360 the other night. Mate, look, I've only picked up on bits of it, but I thought the concept was quite good, mate. You know, with the women's and the women's rugby league, mate, I heard that they were going to run it parallel with the men's, which I think is a bit, I don't know, contradictory, but, mate, my thoughts was there's nothing on in rugby league, mate. When you've got the grand final finished, then, okay, you've got Bathurst and you might have the cricket starting up, you know, like a few months later, but why wouldn't they put the women on a standalone in between that period? And it's just my opinion, mate, because you're going to keep all the rugby league people interested and, mate, it's going to promote the women's rugby league unfold. That's just my thoughts, guys. I just wanted to chuck it by you guys and see what you guys thought.
Be very hot playing in the summer for the women. Yeah, look, I think Mido made the point a little bit earlier. We've got to sort of cool our jets a little bit on the women's game. It's great the way that it's going at the moment, but we've got to let it grow. We've got to give it time to grow. I don't mind the idea, but I reckon it's funny now. If you have a look at it, is it 26 weeks now or 25 weeks now with the competition, week in and week out? Yeah. It's a long comp, and I reckon a lot of people say at the end of the grand final, oh, we get a little bit of a rest from the footy, the cricket's on. But after you've been waiting for 3 weeks and then you go, gee, yeah, I wish the footy was back. So, mate, it's not a bad idea. Mm.
Yeah. Well, Kezia App said yesterday, she said, we asked her about expansion. She said, look, to be honest, I think two teams would have been perfect. Four's probably just really going to stretch it for the time being. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Really appreciate the call, though, Alan. Good on you. We've got Adam Pengilly coming up after 7 o'clock this morning. And he's written a good yarn today in the Herald about, well, back in 2002, a Queensland wrought blocker. So Lottie Takiri.
I remember.
Well, they
TBA.
Named TBA.
Yeah.
And Adam Pengilly's written about that story today. And they've allowed, so Takiri got charged the game before. They've named the team TBA. Takiri then, so he had nothing to do with the squad. Mm. Well, he couldn't train or anything. Was named for, well, he was with Brisbane, wasn't he, at the time? Named for Brisbane that next week.
Yes.
Obviously suspended for that game. Mm. And then they brought him into camp after. How'd they get away with that? What a roar.
Well, at least they got away with it. What about when I got suspended in the semi-final and I went to England?
That's right.
And I had exactly 4 games to serve. So what they did, they picked me in the A team at Warrington and then the first team within 2 weeks. I'd served 2 weeks and they said, right, oh, he's served his 4 weeks. They said, you can't be in another country serving your time. You've got to serve your time here. But what a good rort. Keith Barnes, genius.
Oh, my God.
Unreal.
I loved it when he was in commentary too. He said every week, I'd like to see him utilise the chip over the top a little bit more. Lovely man, Keith. I loved him.
Right, this is going to make you hungry, Block. Deliciously flaky pastry on top of bottom, which is rolled extra thin. A filling of 100% lean Aussie beef. I'm talking about Garlo's pies, the only pies you should be putting on your plate. Garlo's pies are simply bursting with flavour, and there's heaps of flavours to choose from. And here's a thought, take a night off from cooking, grab a Garlo's family pie for the whole crew. They're available in all Coles and Woolworths stores. And remember, we are located in the chilled meals section. If you can't find us, ask for Garlo's pies by name. Garlo's pies, they're thin on pastry, they're big on meat.
What time are they?
They're in the oven now.
Oh, are they?
There's pies and sausage rolls in the oven as we speak.
It's unfair to read that ad before we speak to a jockey. Poor old Robbie Dolan about to join us. Robbie, good morning to you. How are you?
You're making me a bit hungry here.
Thought we might. Great to have you on the show again. And obviously, a lot going on for you off the track as well. And, you know, to what extent has your life changed, I guess, since going on The Voice, Robbie? And what did you get out of it?
Yeah, everything's changed. I'm a father now as well, so that's a big factor. And then, obviously, since the show finished, doing plenty of gigs and writing a bit of music and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's all happening.
Robbie, is there room to do both? I would imagine being a muso is, you know, a full-time job, and being a jockey is no different. How are you going to fit both?
Yeah, it's pretty full-on, you know. You just sort of going with the flow at the moment. I took a little break from riding for the last couple of weeks, but I'm back into it now. Had one ride yesterday and a couple today and a few tomorrow as well. So, you know, we'll just see how we're going and, yeah, we'll just give it a crack.
And is the music stuff something you're serious about, mate? If the opportunity is right there, is this where you want to go career wise?
I'll just see how I go. You know.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd like to. I don't know if I'd want to be like a pub singer. You know, I'd like to sort of release music and hopefully it does well and connects with people. And if it does well, I could go down that route.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't do well, I don't think I'll try and be a pub singer. You know.
Mm. Hey, Robbie, I got close connection to the Irish. My wife is Irish, and she's over there at the moment, the Shannon River in Clare. Mate, whereabouts in Ireland were you from originally? You were born in there?
Yeah, I was born there. I lived in Kildare.
Kildare, yeah.
On the Curra race course, and just a real horse background.
Mate, the favourite songs. Do you get to sing them yourself, or what sort of music do you love?
I listen to all different types of music. The music that we be singing at the gigs are just sort of a mixture of songs that I like to listen to, and a couple of slow ones, a couple of fast ones, and you never know, you might even hear some original music as well if you come down to it.
Beautiful. Mate, plenty of good rides at Randwick tomorrow. What stands out for you?
I like Don Passage in the Civic Stakes. You know, he's a talented horse who sort of lost his way for a little bit, but his run in the Archer was good, and obviously things didn't go right from the other day. Probably didn't handle the Eagle Farm getting back that far, but you know, Gay and Adrian are like, they can get a horse to bounce back and he'll be very fit. So
yeah, it certainly will be very fit. Hasn't won for 2 years, but hasn't been, well, too far away in a few of those runs in that period of time. But also, you're riding a few at Canberra today. Does one stand out there?
Yeah, I think Spells in race one for Richard is sort of knocking on the door again. I rode her at Goulburn, and you know, she was in the finish as well, and she didn't run too bad the other day. She finished sort of midfield at Kembla, but got a fair way back, and this looks definitely an easier race.
Spells for our listeners. Race one, Canberra today, is number 8. Race one, number 8, Robbie Dolan riding for Richard Litt. And you rode one yesterday for Richard Litt, which gave you a great sight. Romeo's Choice at Gosford at a big price, not far away there in second.
Yeah, he's a nice horse. He, you know, he didn't trial too bad going into the race. He's by his Shy Star. But he was 100-1 yesterday morning, and sort of, you know, you can only be so confident with riding 100-1 shot. But I thought he'd run well because he drew a good gate and he was able to sort of jump and travel. And yeah, he hit the line really well, so he could have a bright future.
Robbie, race day preparation. Always interested to hear how sportsmen prepare themselves. The race day, what do you do before the racing?
Sort of, you know, we get all our gear ready before the races and you know, drive to the races, wherever it is. And then sort of when you get there, you know, walk the track, see what the track's doing, see if there are any headwind, and you stretch out, make sure you're not too cool going out there. I like to be warmed up correctly before you get out there. And obviously you do your form as well. You probably do that the night before and bring it with you on the newspaper or, you know, speed map or whatnot.
Do you get to eat?
Sorry?
Do you get to eat?
I'm lucky in the sense that I'm very light, so I can sort of go in and out of the canteen and drink water and eat whatever I want, but some of the other jockeys don't have that privilege, so I'm very lucky.
And how's the adjustment been to life as a dad as well, Robbie?
Oh, it's great. We haven't got her home from the hospital yet. She was born premature, but she's doing really well and she's putting on weight all the time, and hopefully we'll have her home in a couple of weeks.
Good stuff. Now, we've got a text here as well, Robbie. Morning, boys. Can you ask Robbie, did he ever have that pint with Rita? I remember him asking her when he picked Team Rita, says Michael. She looks like a great human, Robbie. What would she like behind the scenes and in the inner sanctum there for your team?
Yeah, she was great. She was, you know, full of jokes and laughs. And I didn't actually get to have a pint with her because COVID started to kick in again. That's what my excuse is anyway.
Now we've got to plug
maybe one day.
We've got to plug your gig as well. So you've got a gig coming up in Marrickville, July 20, Wednesday, is that right?
That's right, yeah, Wednesday, July 20th.
I tried to get it on a weekend, but because of COVID, there's such a backlog of music shows and it's a bit hard to get the weekend. But anyway, July 20th in Marrickville in Sydney, tickets are only $25 and should be a good one. I also got one in Perth coming up in the end of August. And actually have one in Timmy Clark's restaurant next Thursday as well. It's a smaller show and there's only like a handful of tickets left. So if you want to get one of them, it should be a good one.
Is that Joker and the Thief up at the Central?
The Joker and the Thief, yeah.
Yeah, up at Terrigal there. So for anyone who wants to get involved with that next Thursday, but also Robbie's show is Wednesday, July 20, The Factory Floor, Marrickville, here in Sydney. So if anyone wants to get along, tickets $25. They're at The Factory Floor, Wednesday, July 20. Robbie, you got a lot going on, mate. We appreciate your time this morning and hope a few winners for you today at Canberra and tomorrow at Randwick.
No problem. Thanks very much.